Aaron Rodgers emerged from the darkness. We'll talk about that, Lamar Jackson's updated contract situation, and preview the NFL Combine. Locked On NFL Friday with Chris Carter and your boy Q. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On NFL, your daily NFL podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Locked On NFL Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, my friend and co-host, your boy Q. We're of Locked On Steelers and Locked On Raiders, bringing you the Locked On NFL Podcast. As always, you can find this show on your favorite podcasting platform, but especially on YouTube. Like this video if you saw it on YouTube. Subscribe to this YouTube channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes, as well as all of our bonus content. We thank everyone for tuning in to the Locked On NFL Fridays. Q, Aaron Rodgers was on some sort of crazy retreat. I didn't understand what the point was, but he went into the darkness.
How crazy was it, though? How crazy was it, really?
I don't know, because like I saw the tour of it, and I was like, this just looks like some broke apartment stuff that like I would like a hostel that I would have stayed in like when I was a broke college student. Like,
right. That's the thing about it, man. When I first heard about his darkness retreat, I thought, honestly, and this is maybe bad on me, maybe it tells you more about me than it does anything else, but I thought immediate like solitary confinement, right? Like you're sitting in some dark room, they slide a tray of food underneath your table or your door, and you're just there, and maybe there's a rat that starts nibbling on your feet, or I mean, I guess I've seen Shawshank Redemption too many times or movies like that, right? I mean, I'm serious, like, because I had no idea. I had never heard of what this, you know, this whole dark retreat was, and apparently it's something that's pretty popular. But then we see the tour when he comes out of the darkness. We see the tour, like you mentioned. I mean, it's a small place, 300 square feet. It's very little, but he's got a yoga mat that he can sit there and kind of relax with. He's got a bathroom. And I think the biggest thing here, Chris, is he's got an ability to turn a light on if he doesn't want to be in the dark.
But that was the other thing. Like, he wasn't in total darkness. It was like he could turn a light on, and it's like the room I'm in right now.
There's a light
what
switch.
What are we doing? Why did he have to go to a mountain cave to do this?
Right. You could have done that in your room.
Bro, I got a blackout curtain right here. If I turn these lights off, bang, it's dark. Right, oh, man.
That part. Right.
I don't know. But point being, Aaron Rodgers is doing his offseason thing where he's going to get in the headspace that he's got to get in that he thinks he needs for moving forward. I don't know about you. It seems like more and more people are talking about, he's just not coming back to the Packers. It's just not happening this year. And it's wild because over the past several offseasons where we've talked about this, because it's not a new thing that
right.
he's weird in the offseason. It's every year. But it's starting to seem like more and more people are buying into the idea that this is the last one with Green Bay. Like they're tired of this. They want to move on. They want to see what Jordan Love might have before his contract runs out. Is that what your perception is? Or do you think this is all just a bunch of stuff about nothing right now?
You know, it's funny, man, because I think that you can make an argument for both sides of this whole conversation. I do feel like Green Bay is probably tired of this song and dance, and they probably are ready to see what Jordan Love has. I do believe from all reports that they like what they see from him in practice, but that's practice. It's not a game setting, and they've got to make a fifth-year option decision on him sooner rather than later. And so I think that there's probably a patch of them that say, we'd love to see what Jordan Love brings to the table. But, Chris, at the end of the day, it's all about winning. And the guy that gives them the best opportunity to win right now is Aaron Rodgers. And you know what the problem is? Aaron Rodgers knows that. So he can do this song and dance every single year, single offseason, say, I don't know if I'm going to come back. I don't know if I'm going to retire. I don't know if I want to go play somewhere else. He can do that. Remember, we had all the song and dance last season about, is he going to go to Denver? And then all of a sudden, boom, find out, no, he's not going to Denver. He's going back to Green Bay. Now it's like, is he going to play? Is he going to ask for a trade? Is he going to go to the Jets? Is he going to go to the Raiders? Is he going to go to the Titans? Is he going to go to, you know, insert team that needs quarterback? He's most likely going to return to Green Bay. He's got $60 million. I don't see him leaving on that on the table as far as retiring. And to be in total control and do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it, the best place to do it is where he does it now. It's currently at home, which is Green Bay.
Yeah, I'm right with you. Like, he won't have to change systems. He won't have to change things like that. And, we talked about this last week with Lauren Cox, but, like, you know, if he went to the Jets, it sounds great and all, but the Jet, like you're going to have to adjust to a new system, new, you know, and not that like the Packers' weapons are so unique to him right now, but like this is a guy who was who didn't feel like he needed to show up early in like mini camp and work with all the guys, and then was angry when they weren't on the same page. You know, that was in the place where he is the guy. Like he walks around. He's the head honcho right. in Green Bay. Everything revolves around him. You go to a team like the Jets, that kind of stuff ain't gonna fly. Like, not like the Jets are some organization that's just gonna be like, hey, Buster, but it's gonna be right. like, you know, when you walk in, you haven't done all these things. Mm-hmm. You're not the Super Bowl champion. You haven't carried this franchise for 15 years. Like, I think that those antics will become a lot shorter. You know, we're hearing a lot about the Russell Wilson situation and how, right. you know, oh, he has an office and it made people feel weird and Nathaniel Hackett gave him too much room, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. And it's like, imagine like you know Russell doing that, but imagine Aaron Rodgers doing that with a new team after right. all the stuff that we've heard about his old team. It makes me think the best option for him, and like you said, he holds the cards right now. Best option for him, stick it out in Green Bay and write it out there. And I know Green Bay fans are kind of getting tired of it
right.
too, but
as they should, you know, as they yeah. should. I mean, you know, it's easy to get tired of something when you're so used to it, right? Okay, if I'm a Green Bay fan and this goes on every year, I'm exhausted. Like, man, just move on already, right? I'm tired of it if I'm a Green Bay fan. But if I'm from the outside looking in, I'm looking at, like, why would he want to go? And the other thing about it, Chris, that we haven't touched on, yeah, he could go to Green Bay, and we'll probably start to hear something probably on Tuesday when he goes to the Pat McAfee show of what he wants to do, and we'll all be locked in because, well, we want to hear what he's going to do. But with that being said, if he goes to the Jets, a team that they feel like they're one quarterback away, and they don't win, guess what? It's not on the Jets. That's on him.
Exactly.
He's brought in to be the savior. If he comes to Las Vegas, as much as I'd love to see him reunite with Davante Adams and give the Raiders an opportunity, because you know what? It's fun to cover a team that wins. I would love to see mm-hmm. that. But if he doesn't win, guess what? That's on him. That's not going to be on Josh McDaniels or the rest of the team. It's going to be like, well, you brought in this Hall of Famer and he didn't Hall of Fame it up, right? So there's
he
more.
Didn't Hall of Fame
there, I mean, there's just more for him to lose as far as, well, he is starting to fall off, as opposed to if he stays in Green Bay and they don't win, guess what? It's everybody else's fault because you didn't do this. You didn't do that. The coach didn't press the right buttons. You didn't bring in my guys, my friends that I want. Randall Cobb didn't return again. You know, he was the end-all be-all. That's the thing. He has a built-in excuse if he doesn't get it done in Green Bay. If he goes somewhere else, all eyes are on him.
I think that's going to be the biggest thing to watch with Aaron Rodgers is, you know, if he takes that leap out. I don't think he will. I think the Packers are also willing to wait around, and this will be a whole thing where we're doing this again next year. But the bigger question that I think everyone does have legitimate reasons to be concerned about is Lamar Jackson. We'll Ooh. Talk about Lamar Jackson and the story that Jameson Hensley of ESPN put out there that kind of, you know, illustrated a little bit more of what the negotiations have been like and what the impasse is right now between both parties in trying to negotiate a long-term deal for the former MVP quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens. But first, before we do any of that, we're going to talk about our great sponsor at Built Bar. Built Bar, of course, is the number one protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. And if you want something that's amazing and tasty with all of the fat and the calories, this is your chance. You go to Built Bar right now. You can get so many different flavors like churro, peanut butter, brownie, coconut, almond, and so much more. All these flavors, and they pack 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, but find a way to fit 17 grams of protein. So that's 130 calories, but only 17 grams of protein. You're getting your gains in while also not putting too much on in the calorie department. Also, you don't have to wait around anymore for a box. You can just, you have to go online, go to built.com, order them and get them delivered to your door. And you still can do that. But if you wanted to see the boxes for yourself, you could walk right into a local Walmart or Sam's Club and pick up some Built Bars today. That's right. Head to the nearest Walmart and you can walk into the pharmacy section and grab yourself a box of Built Bars by picking up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. Or if you're close to Sam's Club, run in and grab a 13-bar box with the hit flavors, brownie batter, and churro. Trust me, when you try Built Bars, you'll thank me later because Built Bars are the ultimate protein bar and the best tasting around. Back here on the Friday edition of the Locked On NFL podcast, Chris Carter and your boy Q getting you to the weekend. Q, Lamar Jackson's situation has not yet been resolved. Jameson Hensley wrote a story on ESPN basically detailing how there's been offers and counteroffers from both sides. And it seems like one of the amounts of money that was thrown out there was $250 million over the lifetime of a contract with only $130 million of it guaranteed. That pales in comparison to what Deshaun Watson got with the Cleveland Browns. But it seems like part of what the thing is here, according to the story and the sources that Hensley was talking to, is that the Ravens feel like we're not the Browns. Right. You know, we're not a desperate organization that's you know, reaching around trying to find answers. We're confident in our ability to build and keep building. So if he wants the offer, great. If he doesn't, we're going to move on, but we're not going to give him this offer that's going to tank, you know, our chances to build the overall roster. And I think it's interesting because Lamar Jackson, for the longest time, I thought has been the biggest factor in the Ravens' success. And, you know, this year they were able to get to the playoffs at the end of the season, even while he was not playing, and they almost beat the Bengals without him. But I don't think that devalues his position here in the bargaining situation. I think that he still has a strong point to work with here, but I'm curious if he's ever going to get the kind of money that some of the other quarterbacks out there are getting when they hit free agency.
Yeah, I am too, man. In this situation, and we've talked about it quite a bit here on the show, I don't want to say over it because I'm not. I'm just it seems like it's drug on so long. And Cleveland, I mean, they threw a monkey wrench in everyone's plans. There's no doubt about it. And Baltimore's right. They're not a desperate team like Cleveland. But, Chris, there are desperate teams out there. There are teams that want to have a quarterback so bad. I mean, we know that is the number one position in the NFL. Every single team is looking for. I don't know if any team is willing to give Lamar Jackson Deshaun Watson type money, but I don't blame Lamar Jackson for trying to get it. I mean, what have we seen every single time another quarterback comes up for a paycheck? It's that next guy gets more money. I mean, it's just kind of how the food chain works. And I'm not saying that that's the correct way to do it. I kind of respect Baltimore for saying we ain't going to do that. But where do you fall into the, you know, middle ground? I mean, they offered him, what, $133 million guaranteed, fully guaranteed, where Deshaun Watson got $230 guaranteed. So I think that he should ask for more. He's a former MVP. He has no track record of anything, no kind of baggage that, you know, he's bringing to the table like Deshaun Watson. So I can understand with him saying, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. I also think that this is another situation why he probably should have an agent in this situation, so maybe cooler heads could prevail and be the middleman instead of him, you know, him and his mother trying to be the agent and try to handle their business, because that's when stuff starts to get personal, and then all of a sudden relationships can be, you know, they could be altered a little bit. So I think that it's a fine line that they're walking right now. I don't blame Lamar for trying to get as much money as possible. He should try to do that. He's earned a lot of money, and him not being in the playoff game last year for Baltimore, like you mentioned, they almost won. They win if Lamar Jackson's there. I think that just Absolutely. Provides a little bit more leverage for him.
I think I'm on board with you. I think it's that leverage that he still has, because again, you look at their best times, it's when Lamar Jackson is carrying the team. And sure, they've done a good job in adding other pieces. You know, like their defense is still formidable. They're still building around that, you know, but can they get this man some wide receivers?
Right.
That's all he's needed, I think, in the past 2-3 years. You know, he has Mark Andrews, but you know, Mark Andrews, you know, is a fine tight end, and I think he's a good tight end. But like, imagine what they'd be like if he got AJ Brown,
right?
Like, you know, the opportunities that there would be there for a Lamar Jackson. And maybe that's part of the argument that the Ravens had, is like, look, buddy, if you want us to be able to assemble the Avengers for you, it's going to take, you know, some room on some salary cap space to be given up on your part. But Lamar's like, look, man, I'm the man. Like, right. I've earned this money. I've been an MVP. I've carried you guys to the playoffs. I saved John Harbaugh's job.
Yeah.
You know, I need to be getting that kind of consideration. And especially when you look around the league at the money that Kirk Cousins has made in his career, that Deshaun Watson is making right now. He's like, I get it. I get being like, hey, you know what? I want this money now, because that you know that. And I know some people are probably sitting out there saying, but what about the injuries? What about, you know, he's had some problems there. Sure, that's going to factor into it. But I also look at the talent that you see there, and it's like, man, this is a quarterback-driven league. And if the Ravens want to stay on top of things, I think that they got to take that shot. I think they got to take the shot on him at some point.
Well, the other thing about this, Chris, is if you look at Baltimore's team and the way that they've built their offense, like you said, they don't have any weapons on the outside, but they've built their offense. They've catered it to be 100% around Lamar Jackson. So if you remove Lamar from the situation, not only are you losing your quarterback, you're losing your identity. So now you got to go back and you got to recreate the wheel. You got to figure out what the offense is going to look like. And I know they have a new OC now in Monken, who goes over from Georgia after being back-to-back national champions on the offensive coordinator position. I know he's there in Baltimore now, so he's going to bring in his own philosophies. So there's a couple things here. Like, he's bringing in his own philosophies. He needs to get on the same page with Lamar Jackson sooner rather than later. And if he decides to hold out, then guess what? Brand new offense, and Lamar's not learning it. So now you're also hamstringing the team from moving forward. So, again, I mean, the business side of things gets ugly sometimes for the situation. And that's the other problem. And that's another reason why I really kind of wish he had an agent so it didn't have to get personal and it didn't have to get ugly between him, his mom, and the organization as they're negotiating, right? I mean, it'd be better just to let the agent be the bad guy in this type of situation. So they got to learn a new offense. If he's not there, then they got to find a new quarterback and they've got to build a new offense. I mean, there's so many things that can go wrong in this situation. To me, it feels like this has an opportunity to come to a divorce where I didn't think that that was possible maybe a year ago. I didn't think that was anywhere close to being possible, and maybe it's not. Maybe this is just kind of negotiation tactics, and at some point they're going to find a middle even, which is probably the best idea for all parties. But man, I mean, if you look at it in a certain way, as far as supply and demand, the demand is high and there's not a lot of supply when it comes to big time quarterbacks in the NFL. So the Baltimore Ravens might not be desperate. There's a team out there that's desperate.
And I think that's where Lamar Jackson could be looking. It's like, look, yeah, you guys don't want to take that shot.
Yep.
Somebody will. Like, you know, and you imagine Lamar Jackson in free agency. There's always whenever we do free agency, there's always everyone's waiting to see who makes the first move.
Yep.
And then when someone makes that first move, everything happens after that.
Yep.
And Lamar Jackson could be that guy in free agency if the Ravens don't come to an agreement with him and he's out there in the market. I'd be very intrigued to see what he could get from another team and then what he could do with another team, because now the Ravens, they're changing their identity. They've been a run first team that's been based off of their running ability has been based in their quarterback play.
Right.
And then you'd be like, well, the entire reason we were building our team has now moved on. What do we go? Where do we go from here? You know, then they all of a sudden they're in the conversation for probably, you know, drafting a quarterback this year and probably moving up in the NFL draft process to get that quarterback.
Right.
I think it, all those considerations, all those things that they'd have to do after the fact, that's where I think the Ravens need to come to the table, find a way to get this done, lock Lamar Jackson down. Maybe there's some middle ground that they can meet there where maybe he doesn't get, you know, the guaranteed money that he wants, but it's like, hey, like, we're committing to you long term and we're going to give you all this money guaranteed up front. So I'm of the opinion that Lamar Jackson has, like you said, has more leverage here, and the Ravens need to come to their senses.
I think both are good for each other. I think Lamar and Baltimore are a good fit. I don't think that either one of them should think about going any other separate direction, but that's me, right? That's me from a distance. And I'll tell you, you know, there's teams like Washington that have a new offensive coordinator in Eric Bieniemy. I could see them giving up a bunch of first-round picks and saying, yeah, hey, you know what? We'll take that Lamar Jackson. We'll give him a boatload of money. They need as much good PR as possible, right? And they also have a head coach that is well respected in Ron Rivera, who's worked with Cam Newton. So obviously he would have a way of being able to work with Ron, Lamar, and then Eric Bieniemy, who wants to be a head coach at some point. If he's able to get the most out of Lamar and really shine, he can end up being a head coach. Hell, he might end up being the head coach in Washington when Ron Rivera decides to sit down. I mean, there's so many different things here. There's teams out there that are probably sitting there right now in their offices at their headquarters thinking, well, how many first-round picks would it take to get him? Well, how could we make this work? Look, again, if Cleveland was desperate enough to go and get Deshaun Watson, give him 5 years, $230 million fully guaranteed, and give up all the draft capital that they had to give up to Houston to get him with all the baggage that he came with, I'm not ruling out anything. Anything is possible. There is a team out there desperate enough to make the move for Lamar.
I'm right with you. You know what? I think someone's going to be desperate. I think Lamar needs to look at and see what kind of opportunities would be there if that possibility was there. But before we can get any of that, the combine is next week, and both of us will be there. We're going to get a look at the combine, what we're excited to see, some of the players that we'll be talking about at the combine, and just general what the process is always like, because I always think that that's pretty interesting to look at how the combine plays out and what parts that everyone gets excited for every year. So we'll talk more about that right here on the Friday's edition of the Locked On NFL podcast. Don't go anywhere. But first, we got to talk to you guys about our great sponsors with the Ultimate Pro Football GM game. Now, this is a game that you can download right on your phone for free or your mobile device and play and be the GM that builds the football dynasty. If you've ever dreamed about being a GM, this is your chance. When you play this game, you not only draft the players, you hire the coaches, you fire the coaches, you hire personnel, you build facilities. You can do all the things that you think are necessary to make your legit franchise in football, and you get 25 seasons to do it. And in a season can take as little as 5 minutes to do. I played 25 seasons. I won 19 championships. Think you can do better? Get in there and prove that you can by downloading the Ultimate Football GM game for free by going to ultimate-gm.com or downloading it in the app stores. And when you get into ultimate-gm.com, Locked On NFL listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise by using the promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, when you're in the game store for Ultimate Football GM. But if you want to download the game again, visit ultimate-gm.com or look it up in the app stores. That's ultimate-gm.com. Ultimate Football GM, start your dynasty today. Back here on the Friday edition of the Locked On NFL podcast, I'm Chris Carter with your boy Q. The combine is coming. It's in Indianapolis, and it's the time when we get to see who's for real, who's really the fastest, who's really the strongest, who's the most explosive. And this is when a lot of the guys, you know, normally first the top 10 guys, like, this isn't as much for them. Like, you know, this will be a wow session for guys like, you know, Jalen Carter and like those guys.
Yeah.
But this is always a chance for those guys like Keely Ringo from the cornerback from Georgia. You know, guys like him who are, you know, maybe first round picks, but people don't know. They're going to weigh against other corners. This is their chance to show, oh, no. I am that guy. I am that kind of a prospect. If you run like a 4.4 something, people be looking at you. You run sub 4.4, that's where people get the most excited. What's the thing that you look more forward to the most in combine season?
Well, you know, it's funny because the combine could be the gift and the curse, right? I mean, the combine can show off all your athleticism. You can go through all the tests and all the drills and be great and end up not playing worth the salt, right? Not being a very good football player. So I think that the combine, the most important thing to always remember, and I think that as I've kind of grown and matured in football coverage and the role that we play, I think I've kind of realized more and more and more the combine needs to be used to confirm what you already believed, right?
Yeah.
That you already believed that this quarterback is a top quarterback. Not all of a sudden he became a top quarterback because of what you saw him do at the combine. I think a lot of times people fall in love with what they see in shorts and t-shirts, right? I call it the underwear Olympics. A lot of times people fall in love with that 40 time. And look, I cover the Raiders, and for years everybody could say who Al Davis is going to pick.
Fastest, right? People.
Exactly. Oh, that guy ran the fastest. He's going to be a Raider. And you know what? He would. Oh, that guy's the strongest guy. He's going to be the Raider. I remember Bruce Campbell. Offensive lineman Bruce Campbell. He was the fastest, strongest offensive lineman at the draft. Guess what? He wasn't worth a salt, right? He couldn't play at all. I mean, he was terrible, but he was fast. He was able to move, and he was strong. He was able to bench. But did the tape confirm what you already knew? And he didn't. You know, the tape said, yeah, he's a little suspect at this, that, and the other. And then guess what? When they drafted him and got him on the field, he was suspect at what we already saw. So you have to be careful what you fall in love with. But I do like the guys go out there and compete. I like to see guys compete. You know, a lot of times the quarterbacks will say, oh, I'm not going to throw here. I'm going to throw up my pro day. I like to see guys just go out there and have that will where it's like, I want to compete at this. I want to show that I got the strongest arm. I want to show that I'm the most accurate guy. I want to show that I'm the fastest guy, right? Like, they take it really seriously, even though that they know that they're high draft picks. So the competition is always great. I always feel like no matter what it is, I don't care if we're playing thumb wars. Like, I want to win, right? That's just the competitive nature of me. There's nothing I want to lose at. And those are the kind of guys that I feel like I'm looking for. I mean, you talked about playing the Ultimate Football GM, and you're really good at that. That's what the GM's job is finding guys with that burn to compete, that burn to be the best, right? That's how you build your team, regardless if it's a first-round pick, second-round pick, seventh-round pick. You got to look for those guys with those intangibles. That's kind of what the combine should be. It's not always that, though.
I agree. It's not always that. And I think that that people get lost, like you said, in those times and in those numbers and the raw numbers of things. And like you say, because here's the thing. If it was that simple, people would just go to like Usain Bolt and the ultimate track and field stars and just be like, hey, go play football. It's not. you know, offense, like some of the best players ever don't have the best 40 times, you know, as far as wide receivers and guys like that, you know, and do you have, does that help? Absolutely. You know, like it's boosted profiles for guys. Like, you know, I've been covering, you know, Pitt guys for, you know, at the University of Pittsburgh for a while. Damari Mathis was a guy that I think a lot of people didn't have on their radar as much. Like, he was considered like a late day three pick. Mm. And then everyone saw how he was one of the most explosive cornerback prospects out there, and people were like, you know what, that kind of goes along with his tape, let's take him in the third round. Now he's with the Broncos performing really well, and, you know, being talked about maybe being one of the better sophomore defensive cornerbacks in the NFL next year. But I look at that, and when I go through my process of how I'm looking at guys, you're right, I'm not there to see, okay, what does this guy have? I'm there to see, okay, does this match up to it, to the tape that we've seen, right? Does this match up there? And also, like you said, how do these guys talk? Like, you know, when we're sitting there and that, well, not when we're sitting there, but when they're sitting there and they're talking to coaches and they're going through the interview process, what are they like? What are the, you know, what questions do they ask you? How do they fit your culture? That's what everyone's looking to see. And then from there, then it becomes interesting, because then everyone has this combine, but then people go back and they'll do their pro days.
Right.
And then you'll see who goes to what pro day. And sometimes guys won't even perform at their pro day, but coaches will still show up. Like Najee Harris for the Steelers, he didn't need to do much at his pro day. He was there for his teammates more so, but the Steelers were willing to be like, okay, let's just talk to him, see how he is, to get more insight on him. That's where I think a lot of this is coming down to, is to monitor who gets the interviews with which teams, and then which teams follow up on that when we keep tracking who's at what pro days throughout the year, because then that gives you the better sense of who's at least either considering these prospects or who's throwing out a smoke screen to say, hey, we're looking at this guy, but we're actually over here. There's a lot of stuff to be taken from that, but still, I think there's always something fun to see about, like, who are the, you know, the most explosive, because everyone looks at the 40 yard. I love the broad jump. Because the broad jumps and the shuttles, the broad jump shows how explosive your lower body and your core can be. The shuttles show how quickly you can do the cone drills where you can turn. That's all, that stuff is very relevant to pass rushers, to corners, to linebackers, to show your agility. And those are the things I think sometimes they get pushed to the back by fans, and they just want to see the 40-yard dash times, because that's the easiest things that we have to relate to from, you know, just all sports.
Right. I mean, and the drills are fun to watch. You know, I like to see how the wide receivers, they run routes. I like to see
that too,
if it looks comfortable, because sometimes guys are going through drills and it doesn't look comfortable. It looks like they're struggling to get through it, or they're not confident in what they do. And that could be a gift and a curse as well, because again, some guys are great practice dudes. Some guys can go through the drills and look money and then get out there in the game time when the lights are bright and they're not worth the salt. They're not really that good, but they were just really good at testing and they're really good at practice. And so it's a fine line. I feel like there's always a guy or two coming out of the combine that I didn't really have on my radar, but they caught everyone's attention at the combine. And if you're smart and intelligent, you'll go back and say, okay, I missed on that guy. Let me go back and look to see what he did at so-and-so school. Oh, well, he wasn't very good. He was down on the depth chart. Like, again, I go back to the Raiders, because I feel like they're always been the combine kings, right? They've always been the ones that want to field the track team. And they went and got Darius Hayward Bay many years ago, right, before Michael Crabtree got drafted. And everyone knew Michael Crabtree was the best wide receiver in that class. And they went and got Darius Hayward Bay because he was super fast. Well, I saw him blaze that speed, and I said, okay, well, he wasn't on my radar. Let me go see, and then go back to find out, well, he struggles to catch the ball a little bit. You know, he's not inconsistent. He's inconsistent with his hands. Okay, red flag, wide receiver, inconsistent with his hands. Shouldn't be a guy on your list, right? I don't care how fast he is. He could be Usain Bolt. But if he's inconsistent with his hands and he's wide receiver, that means you should cut him off your list. Instead, they were like, well, maybe he could develop. That's what you shouldn't do. That's old stuff. But, I mean, it's just an example. You've got to be able to have the discipline to say, okay, this guy's on my radar. He's blazing speed. I can see how he can fit on this team. But let me go see what he did in college. Was he really that good? How come I'm not talking about him already? And then see what you see. And if you just happen to see a good player that maybe flew into the radar, cool, you got a gem. And maybe a guy that flies up the radar and he earns some money. But more times than not, there's a lot of guys that are workout warriors, and they're just that, workout warriors.
And you're absolutely right. We've seen those guys that – they great times, great everything, but then they get their butts kicked on the field because they're not good at certain techniques. And again, the pace of football is different.
Right.
I'll be very interested to see guys like that proving what they have, what they bring to the table. I think the cornerback class is going to be one of the most interesting things mm-hmm. to watch this year because they are a very deep class. Deep, you know, we talk about the guys at the top like Christian Gonzalez, Devin Witherspoon, Joey Porter Jr., guys like that. But, you know, for guys like Emmanuel Forbes, Caillou Blue Kelly, Julius Brents, guys that, you know, have kind of, some people have raised their stock, kind of how they performed in the Senior Bowl. Now we get to see how they perform there and who's really ranked, because everyone's rankings are all different. Like, you go across, you talk to people, like some people think Deontay Banks from Maryland is a, you know, second to third round guy. Some people see him as a first round guy. You know, there's it's all differing opinions. And when you see these, it flips everything upside down, because all the talk was going to, there's going to be talk about this guy here, that guy there. I mean, DK Metcalf, people were excited about DK Metcalf. And then when they saw him at the combine, they were like, oh,
yep.
Oh, that's different. Yep. Like that's we're even more excited. That raised his stock. So I think it's going to be very interesting. We're going to both be on hand to see how that process goes throughout the week. So,
and we'll both be there next week.
Exactly. We will both be there next week. So next week, hopefully, we're filming both from Indianapolis when we get to do this show together. So Q, as always, it's great to do this show with you. I'll see you when we get to Indianapolis in a few days here. But stay tuned if you're a listener to the Lockdown NFL podcast, which you can download on all your podcasting apps and especially watch on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday podcasts, as well as all the bonus content that comes out through this channel. Q, let people know they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
Man, just find me on Twitter. That's where everything I do all the time. I don't even know what I do half the time. I gotta check with Twitter as well to see what I'm doing at the time. At your boy Q254, again on Twitter, at your boy Q254. How about you, Chris?
I'm Chris Carter. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. You can read me at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. You can watch my show just like you watch this show and Q's show on YouTube. Listen to us on all our podcasting platforms, Locked On Steelers, Locked On Raiders, Locked On NFL with the Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks again for everyone for checking us out. We'll be back next week from the Combine, breaking things down and everything that we've seen. It's going to be a fun week. We'll see you then.